Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Saints, and welcome to another edition of Contending for the Faith with your brother, with your servant in Christ, me, Moses Henry Jones. Well, we have a wonderful broadcast in store for you today, and of course, as always, it's going to be based on the Word of God. And, of course, as always, I require, I implore you, I need you to have your thinking caps on because this program is for thinking men and women. If you are not a Berean, if you are not a person that is constantly consulting their Bible, this broadcast is not for you. You're going to be disappointed. Because I don't prophesy. By prophesy, I mean proper lie. I don't see demons. I've never seen the sneaky squid spirit. I've never seen the spirit of Python. I've never bumped into the spirit of Jezebel. I have never seen the spirit of Ahab. I don't know what these people are talking about. I'm just a Bible man. Just a Bible man. In today's broadcast, we're going to be talking about a few issues, important issues, critical issues. But before I tackle the main issue, because I'm going to be talking about jackass church bishops and their organ grinding and their foolish dancing. Have you ever seen a picture of an organ grinder? Have you ever been to a museum? Some of you are too young to know what an organ grinder is. I never bumped into an organ grinder myself. I'm not that old. You need to be way up there in age to have bumped into an organ grinder. I never did. An organ grinder is basically a man who used to go around town with a box organ, and he used to turn the handle on the box organ, and as he turned the handle, the box organ, of course, would play the music. That's why he's called an organ grinder. And that man who went up and down the streets of towns had a monkey on top of the portable organ grinding box. And while he's playing the organ, while he's turning the crank and the organ music is playing, the monkey would do a dance. At the end of the little, dance, the monkey, of course, had a tin cup, and the monkey would just ask people in the audience if they would put some coins in. And that's how the monkey and the organ grinder lived. They lived on the benevolence of people. They lived on the goodwill of people. Now, for this broadcast, I put a couple of pictures there of the organ grinder and the monkey. Now, I'm not calling these bishops monkeys. No, don't. Please, don't say that. I'm not calling them dancing monkeys. I'm calling them dancing jackasses, because that's what they are. But they listen, when the organ player at church plays the organ, they, like the monkey, they, meaning these jackass bishops, they go to dancing. And I'm going to get into that shortly, and we're going to talk about the stupidity of this, what they call praise break. We're going to get into that. I'm going to develop it. And today is just the first in a series of broadcasts that I'm going to do, because I want you to think. I'm sure you go to church, and every now and then you have a praise break in your church. Now, I was in, I was in the Pentecostal church, and I can tell you I've been part of many of praise breaks. But we knew why we were praising God. We knew why we were praising, and we were praising Him and dancing, praising Him and dancing. Praising God and dancing. Okay, so now, before I get into the main topic that I want to get into today, please let me remind everyone that I have been reaching out to Jensen Franklin, who I now call Jenny Franklin. He's no longer Jensen Franklin. He's Jenny Franklin. Jensen Franklin, the pastor of the Free Chapel Campus Churches, is acting like a woman. I have called him out. I have challenged him. I've sent him certified letters. I've done, I would say right now to this point, since December of 2018, I have done, I would say, 100 shows, 100 broadcasts where I've called him out. He knows he's following me on the internet. He knows exactly what I've said. And yet with all of this, with all of these overtures that I make to Jensen Franklin, listen, if you've gotten a copy of Spirit of Python Dunce, if you've gotten a copy of the book Spirit of Python Dunce, you know that I challenged the man. I say to Jensen Franklin, look, I will give you home field advantage. I'll go to your church. I'll debate you at your church. Listen, I'm willing to go down to Gainesville, Georgia at my own expense. I'm not asking him to put me up at no hotel. I'll put myself up at a hotel. I'll pay for my own expenses to go down to Gainesville, Georgia to debate him. He doesn't have to come to me. I'm going to him. And I'm going to debate him in the friendly confines of his own church. That's all. Listen, it's simple. I've called them out. I've written a trilogy. Spirit of Python Dunce, Book 1. Spirit of Python Ignoramus, Book 2, and Spirit of Python, Retard, Book 3. Three books in which I show that Jensen Franklin is a retarded fool for teaching his Spirit of Python mumbo-jumbo. He is a retarded fool. And he made millions of dollars off of that book. And he owes the body of Christ an explanation because he claims in his book that the revelations contained therein were given to him by the Lord, which is a lie. So I've challenged Jensen Franklin, and it's beyond a challenge. Now I'm chasing him. Now he's gone into, I don't know, witness protection. Some days he's in hiding. Some days he's like the ostrich with his head in the sand and his fanny up in the air. Some days I can just imagine he's borrowing his wife's clothes to go out. Probably, you know, bought himself a wig so that I wouldn't recognize him. I don't know. Maybe he's wearing pantyhose and high heels. I don't know. I've been looking for Jensen Franklin. I may have to put his picture on the milk carton down there in Gainesville, Georgia, because I'm looking for him and he's hiding like a little girl. Hiding like a little girl is Jensen Franklin. So, my brothers and sisters, if you want the book, Spirit of Python Dunce, it's yours for the asking. All you have to do is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Now, you know I have a trip down to Gainesville, Georgia. You know that I'm recruiting some guys to go down with me. I'm trying to get some East Coast guys because I'm on the East Coast. I can't recruit guys from the middle of the country, and I can't recruit guys from the West. You know, I can't. Guys from Los Angeles, I can't. You know, they may want to go with me to Jensen Franklin's area, but I have no financial means of bringing anybody from the West Coast down to the East Coast. I don't have any financial means. So I'm driving down. I'm driving from the north down to the south. And if anyone's in the I-95 corridor, I will pick them up and they can go down with me and they can help me give out 5,000 postcards. And these 5,000 postcards are advertising the trilogy that I'm giving away for free. I have this trip. If you'd like to help with that trip, if you like to give a financial donation towards that trip, you can do so by going to our website, www.dailymannaNY.com. Click on any one of those PayPal buttons and give as you so desire. Right now we have $850 set aside. We've received donations, numerous donations. I just got a donation of $30. That brings us up to $850. And that's going to cover the gas. Listen, I'm traveling from a great distance. I'm very far away from Jensen Franklin, very far away. So I'm grateful for anything that the saints want to give because look, $20 here, $30 there, $50 there, it just all adds up. And right now, thank you, Jesus, that the saints have responded, and we have $850. I have 5,000 postcards that I need to give out. And I have, our plan is to give out 1,500 postcards on Friday, 1,500 postcards on Saturday, and 2,000 postcards on Sunday. We're going to blanket Gainesville. And we're just going to do the work because the people there at Gainesville, where Jensen Franklin has his main campus, those people need to know that he hoodwinked them. They need to know that he conned them. And listen, I don't know how much the book was selling when the book was a New York Times bestseller, maybe $25 with shipping and handling. They're out $25 for rubbish. And it was a New York Times bestseller, which means Jensen Franklin got a nice, several nice paychecks from that book. which was full of lies. And worst of all, he claims Jesus gave him this revelation. Well, my Jesus isn't retarded. My Jesus does not traffic in error. My Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. So Jesus is the truth. Jesus does not promote heresy. So it is impossible for Jesus to have told Jensen Franklin all the stupid stuff he put in that book. And let me tell you, when you read, listen, I start out slow. In Spirit of Python Dunce, I start out slow. And by book one, I prove that he is a dunce, that he is well deserving of wearing the dunce cap. But by volume two, I go in a little harder and I show how he is an ignoramus. By volume two, he is an ignoramus is worse than a dunce. An ignoramus is a dunce to the second power. Then in volume three, I just show how super retarded he is. And look, the books are academic in nature. I have footnotes for everything I say. I prove everything I say. Jensen Franklin has 11 footnotes. He has 11 footnotes in a 232-page book, and each one of those footnotes was off the internet, which means he never picked up a book. He never went to the library. He never did any research. And that's why the book is so stupid. Yet, it was a New York Times bestseller. So I'm reaching out to Jensen Franklin. He doesn't look. I can only imagine what is going to happen to this man when he finds out I'm in Gainesville, Georgia, for a weekend. Because you know that some of his members are going to get those cards. I mean, that's the whole purpose. That's why I'm going to the epicenter. That's why I'm going to Jensen Franklin's backyard. That's why I'm going to his sandbox to throw a little sand in his eyes to see if he would man up and take off the bobby socks and the bobby pins and the rollers and take off the wig and take off the skirt and man up and debate me instead of hiding behind a skirt. It's sad. It's just sad. It's just sad. It's just sad. If you remember, there was an episode of The Little Rascals, where Woym and the guy who was a bully to Alfalfa and Alfalfa and Spanky. There was an episode where Alfalfa and Spanky are running away from the two bullies, and Alfalfa and Spanky run into a ballerina school, and there's some girls doing the ballerina dances, and there goes Spanky and Alfalfa. He's being chased by Bud and Woym, and they're looking for them. They know they entered into the ballerina school. And what does Alfalfa and Spanky do? They put on wigs. They put on the tutu. And they're out with the girls dancing. And that's what Jensen Franklin's done. I'm looking for him. And he's run into the ballerina school. And he's got on a tutu. Jensen Franklin's got on a tutu. Can you believe that? I would have never believe that Jensen Franklin would go from Jensen to Jenny. And I found out, my colleague told me, that Jenny is Scandinavian. It's Jenny and Franklin are Scandinavian names, and they're interchangeable. Jenny is a Scandinavian feminine noun for Jensen. I didn't know that. I just started calling him Jenny. I got a couple of friends named Jennifer, and I didn't want to use Jennifer because then I didn't want to say, well, why are you using my name? So I just used Jenny so that I wouldn't you know, offend my Jennifer friends. So there is Jensen Franklin running scared. But listen, he can run, but he can't hide because I'm going down to Gainesville. And I can't wait for that. And I'll let you know when I'm going. I will let you know when I am going. Well, look, if you want the book Spirit of Python Dunce, showing how Jensen Franklin's idiotic interpretation of Acts 16:16 proves he's a biblical moron, just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I'll be happy, more than happy, to send it to you. Now, also, Saints, don't forget the book Jackass Church Bishops, and that book is 15 chapters long. It's 7 chapters longer than Spirit of Python Dunce. And it's a, listen, I can tell you, and this is not a boast, I can honestly tell you that Jackass Church Bishops and Spirit of Python Dunce, that whole Spirit of Python trilogy and that book Jackass Church, some of the best writing I've ever done. I got to tell you. Some of the best writing I've ever done. I'm not just saying it because I wrote it. I'm just saying it because it's a fact. It's a fact. And those of you who have been listening to me since 2014, you know that I am not a man who is pumping himself up. I never extol who I am. I'm a pretty quiet guy. I just love apologetics. I just love mixing it up with the wolves. And when you give me a chance to mix it up with a wolf, I'm at my best. I'm telling you, I'm like the Muhammad Ali of apologetics. I mean, I am just going to knock them out in the first round. Knock them out. So here we are. And if you want the book Jackass Church Bishops, 15 chapters, over 245 pages, 260-plus footnotes. What a book. What a book. And look, why did I write the book Jackass Church Bishops? Because we have to save bishops. We have to save them. We have to save these bishops in the black church. We've already read James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, how James the apostle closes out his epistle by reminding us that all this church stuff, listen, ministry is about saving souls and keeping them saved. Saving souls, that's why Jesus, he says, you remember the good shepherd? He had 100 sheep, but one of them went astray, and he left the 99 under supervision, and he went after the stray. Why? Because, listen, it's not just about having a 99 average on your test. Well, you got 99 sheep. Well, you lost one. Everybody loses. Not Jesus. Jesus says, no, I got to go out and risk my life to go find that wayward sheep. Because if God entrusted me with 100, if the Father entrusted me with 100, I got to bring the 100 back to my Father. Those whom the Father has given me, said Jesus, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Listen, Saints, we're in the soul-saving business. We bring them to Christ and we keep them in Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So we're trying to save these wayward bishops. What are we saving them from, you ask? What we're saving them from? Doctrines of demons. Roman Catholicism is a smorgasbord of doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons. And I should know. I had the good fortune to be Catholic on one side of my family and Pentecostal on another side of my family. My father's side of the family were devoutly Catholic. My mother's side of the family were, on fire Pentecostals. So when I spent weekends with my father's side of the family, I knew what I was in for, dead church. And when I spent weekends with my mother's side of the family, I knew what I was going to, a church on fire for the Lord, a lively church, a Holy Ghost moving church. an altar call making church. That's the kind of church I went to when I went to Grandma's church. A church where miracles happened and not phony miracles. No, not phony miracles. So I was able to see both sides. And I wanted nothing to do with Catholicism. Nothing. No. And I don't want anything to do with Catholicism today. It's a dead religion. Because that's what demons produce. Dead teaching, dead religion, dead faith. That's death. Death is what the devil produces. So we're trying to save them from doctrines of demons. And that's what the book Jackass Church Bishop does. It saves them. Listen, I'm trying to save these people from Rome. I'm trying to get them out of Rome. I'm trying to have Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 fulfilled. If you read Revelation 18:4, God says to his people, come out from among her. He's calling the church. He's calling his people out of the harlot church, out of the harlot church. So we're trying to save these bishops from doctrines of demons. Now I'm going to play a hymn. And after I play this hymn, I'm going to come back. And then we're going to do our main segment of the broadcast. We're going to break down some Bible verses. We're going to look at some scriptures. And then we're going to talk about how we save these bishops now from doctrines of dimwits. The book, Jackass Bishops, is designed to save them from doctrines of demons. This teaching, this series of teaching that starts today, is designed to save them from doctrines of dimwits. And so both work hand in hand. The book and the broadcast work hand in hand. I want to play this hymn. It's called Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. The first hymn, the introductory hymn, the hymn that I used to open up the broadcast, was entitled Jesus Saves. And glory be to God, he does save. But, you know, some of us need a touch from Jesus. Some of us are like the woman with the issue of blood. Some of us are like blind Bartimaeus. And we're saying, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pass me not, Jesus. Don't leave the service without touching me, Lord. Don't leave the service without ministering to me, sweet Jesus. Don't leave the service, Lord, without taking care of my broken heart. So I want to play this hymn. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. It's a hymn that's really a prayer. Let's listen.
Why, Lord, are you so my God?
What a beautiful hymn. The words are beautiful. The melody is beautiful. And most of all, the Lord is beautiful. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Hear my humble cry. And trust me, saints, you don't need to get on any line with $1,000. You don't need to get on a line with $500 in order to activate God. Listen, those lines are designed to fleece you of your money. All you have to do is do like Hannah. Hannah didn't go to Eli and shared her petition. Hannah bypassed the middleman. It's time for you to bypass the middleman and go directly to Jesus. You know that the woman with the issue of blood, she went directly to Jesus. You know that blind Bartimaeus went directly to Jesus. The centurion who had an issue, had a problem with his servant who was sick, went directly to Jesus. All you got to do is make your appeal to Jesus. And all you got to say is, don't pass me by, Lord. And he won't. And no money required. No money required. Well, saints, I want to talk to you about the Joint College of Bishops. More specifically, they just had their 2019 yearly convocation. And they had a thing called, a praise break. During the convocation, they of course, every day they had a different praise break. But they happened to put one clip up. I think it's a 15-minute clip of the praise break that they had. And I want to use that praise break as a way of instructing you and as a way of showing you that a lot of things that these bishops do are not biblical. In fact, I would say that 85% of what they do isn't biblical. 85% of what the bishops in the black church do isn't biblical. And no, I'm not nitpicking. I'm just going to take one of their audios that they put on the internet. I'm going to take that audio and I'm going to use it to teach you why you shouldn't follow these mindless people. Because not only will they damage your soul in getting you to follow Rome, and that's doctrines of demons, but also they will get you to follow them and their idiotic practices, which I call doctrines of dimwits. And I'm going to illustrate it shortly. But before I do, I'm going to pull up, and I want you to go to Psalm 48. Go with me to Psalm 48, and I want to read a scripture. And while we get the scripture, then I'm gonna break down today's lesson for us. Today's lesson, which is an important lesson, and this is just part one. Because I'm going to show you how important it is. Now, listen, if you want to be like the monkey that dances when the organ grinder is just playing the organ, be my guest. I mean, if that's what you want, knock yourself out. But I'm not a monkey. I'm a man. You're probably a man if you're listening to me, a woman. Man was created in the image of God. We are created to have a relationship with God. And in that relationship with God, we praise him. We praise him. The creature praises the creator, praising the creator. So I want to read Psalm 48, verse 1. And the blessed word of God reads as following. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. No, there's no argument there. I mean, God is great, my brothers and sisters. Great is the Lord. There the Lord is Yahweh. The name Yahweh, one of the names of God, that name Yahweh means the closer. Paul put it this way, he that began the good work in you will complete it. You see, when Yahweh is in your life, he completes your life. He brings your life to a joyful completion. He brings your life to a joyful conclusion. That's one of the things that God does. He just didn't create you. He's just not Elohim, the creator God. He's also Yahweh, the completing God. He completes you, and he completes your life story. He completes your destiny. He ensures that you have a happy ending if you choose to follow his ways. He's Yahweh, the closer. Most Major League Baseball teams have a closer. It is the job of the closer to come into the game in the ninth inning when things are tight and the other team is about to win, and the closer comes in and he strikes the side out. And when the closer strikes the side out and preserves the win, that preservation of a win is called the save. A save. And that's what God does. God is not just the starting pitcher in your life. He is also the closer. God ends the game. He puts the opposition down in your life. He wins the game for you. He saves the game for you. That's why Paul could say, he that began the good work in you will complete it. God does not leave us in a lurch. So here the psalmist says, great is Yahweh, great is the closer, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and in the mountain of his holiness. He's referring to Mount Zion and the city of God, Jerusalem. But notice, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The word praise there is halal, halal, halal. And praise predominantly has to do with the mouth. With the mouth, great is the Lord. Now, you have to acknowledge God has done some great things for you, starting out by saving you. Didn't God save you? Didn't he redeem your soul? Didn't he provide you with a lamb that takes away your sins? Hasn't God written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Hasn't he sealed you with the Holy Spirit? Hasn't he filled you with the Holy Spirit? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So when we come to church, we just don't sit there like dead people. We stand up, we shout, we praise, we sing the songs, we give God praise. We say things. Halal. Halal means to praise him with your mouth, to praise him with words, with meaningful words, not gibberish, not stupid talk, but meaningful words. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. To pray. We got to praise God. Praise God. Okay? Now, praise God. You may want to write this down. What is praise? More specifically, now, of course, the Hebrew word there in Psalm 48:1, where it says greatly to be praised, that's the Hebrew word halal. Oh, that's where we get the word hallelujah. Praise Yah, praise Yahweh. Yah is the shortened version of Yahweh. When we say hallelujah, we're simply saying give praise to Yah, give praise to the closer. That's what it means. So to halal God, to praise God, is an act of worship. It is an act of worship in which we acknowledge his virtues and his deeds. Listen. When you're praising God, it is an act of worship in that you are acknowledging his great virtues and his great deeds. We acknowledge, we recognize them, and we extol him. We exalt him. We lift him up on high. That's what we do. But it requires your mouth, and it requires words. Now, let me give you a perfect example of this. In Exodus 14, the children of Israel, at the beginning of Exodus 14, the children of Israel, they have their backs towards the Red Sea. They have their backs towards the Red Sea. They're cornered. And here comes Pharaoh. He's coming down the pike
Pharaoh's coming down the highway, and he's got his charioteers, and with his charioteers and with his army and with his cavalry, Pharaoh is going to stomp out. He's going to put under wheel, he's going to put under horse hooves the children of Israel. They're cornered. And so the people are crying out to Moses. Moses is in a panic. Moses runs to God, and God says to him, "Why are you praying? Why are you crying out to me? Use the rod that I gave you and part the sea." So Moses goes and he parts the sea, and the Bible says that God, with a blast of his nostrils, parted the Red Sea, and the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea like on dry land. Once the children of Israel crossed over successfully, every single one of them, without losing one, not one children of Israel stayed behind. They all walked through the Red Sea like on dry land. Once they had crossed over, God removed the barrier that separated the children of Israel and the Egyptians, and he removed the barrier, and he allowed Pharaoh and his armies to go through the Red Sea. And once they were in the middle of the Red Sea, he collapsed the Red Sea upon the Egyptian army, and he drowned them. That's Exodus 14. He eliminates the Egyptian army forever. Now, in Exodus 15, we see the people of God going into an act of worship. They go into praise. "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised," greatly to be hallowed, greatly to be exalted, greatly to be extolled. We are to worship God, and this worshiping of God requires words. Now, I want to encourage you, go to Exodus 15. Go to Exodus 15. And you will notice that here Moses sings a song. Moses sings a song with the children of Israel. Now, they're not humming a song. They're not humming a tune. They are not humming a tune. They are singing a song. Songs have lyrics. Songs have words. And it is these words that they use to praise God. So notice, it says here, "Then sang Moses." Now, you don't sing with your ears. You don't sing with your eyes. You don't sing with your feet. You don't sing with your hands. You sing with your mouth. You got to use your mouth when you're praising God. When you're praising God, you must, it's required for you to use your mouth. Now, again, if you're going to an organ-grinding church where the organist is playing the organ and then you're acting like a fool, dancing out of control, just dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing and saying nothing, that's not praise. That certainly cannot be a praise break. Because when you're praising God, according to the Hebrew and Greek word, we didn't get into the Greek word yet, but according to the Hebrew word, we're just looking at it in the Hebrew, it requires that you use your mouth and you say certain words. That these words would recognize, would acknowledge, would declare what God has done for you. So here in Exodus 15 it says, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." They sang a song unto God. And in this song, they rehearse everything that God did for them in verbal format. So let's read Exodus 15, starting at verse 1, all the way down to verse 21. And I want you to see, as we're playing this as we're reading this, you will notice, focus on the words. This is a song with many words. This is a song with many ideas. This is a song that's talking about what God did for the people when they were trapped, when Pharaoh was after them, when they were cornered, when Pharaoh was about to wipe them out, how God gave them a miraculous exit known as the Exodus, the Great Exodus, the Red Sea Exodus. All right, let's read this. Genesis 15, starting at verse 1, all the way down to verse 21. Follow me in your Bible. Have your thinking caps on, because I want you to focus. Exodus 15, verses 1 through 21 is all about rehearsing or recalling or declaring everything great that God had done for the people. Great is the Lord who can do great things, and as a result of his ability of doing great things, he is greatly to be praised. All right, let's listen.
Chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea.
There you have it. This whole song is about how God jacked up the Egyptians as they were pursuing the defenseless Israelites. Israel was about to be wiped out, and God made a way where there was no way. He parted the Red Sea. And in giving the children of Israel a miraculous exit, by the same tool, by the same instrument, he used to wipe out the Egyptian army in its totality. So this is a song of praise, not only of what he has done now, but they're also praising him about what he's about to do as they go into the land of Palestine, how he will mow down those Canaanite nations and get rid of them and plant his people in the land. It's a song of current praise and of future praise. Praising him for what he has currently done and praising him for what he's going to do in the tomorrow. Notice all these words. 21 verses of words. All of these words are glorifying God. All of these words are recounting how great the Lord is and what great things he has done for his people and what great things he will do for his people. That's praise. Notice in this chapter, there's not one musical note. Notice we don't know if this was a slow song or a fast song. We don't know if it was sung a cappella. We do know at the end that Miriam took a timbrel and other women took timbrels, and at the end they began to dance. But we don't know. We don't know if this was an opera. We don't know the genre of music. We just know that it was a song of praise. We know that because of the words. The words are what are important. The words is what's critical. Okay. So now let's go to the Joint College of Bishops. Joint College of Bishops. Just bear with me. College of Bishops. Let me do my one finger typing. Joint College of Bishops. 2019. Praise break. Praise break. Praise break. In other words, they're doing the same thing that Moses did here. And Exodus chapter 15 is a praise break. God does something for you in the service. Now you take time out in the service to just go crazy, to go berserk, to give God some praise. Okay? That's what a praise break is. That's what a good old-fashioned Pentecostal praise break is. Okay? All right. Okay, here's the Joint College of Bishops. Let's listen to this. Let's listen to this. Just finished singing a hymn, right? A traditional hymn. He's calling on the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit to come down. Okay, continue listening. Now you see how they're giving time to the organ grinder? Now the organ grinder is taking over now. This is where the organ grinder takes over. Now watch the jackasses go off.
You've had 2 minutes of the organ grinder playing, and they're jumping up and down. Not a word. Not a word of praise to God, but this is a praise break. So, but it's not a scriptural praise break. It's not like the kind of praise break they had in Exodus 15, where they listen. We don't get a recorded note in Exodus 15. It's not the notes. It's not the drum. It's not the organ. It's not the piano. It's listen. It's the words. The words. This is not a praise break. This is an organ grinder with the jackasses instead of monkeys jumping up and down. This ain't the Kentucky Derby, folks. This is not the Kentucky Derby. Now, they're all jumping up and down now. See? They're all jumping up and down now. That's it. They're all jumping up and down now. Every single one of them. Keep listening. And don't tell me, Brother Moses, that's a black thing. Forget about the black thing. Forget about the Rome thing. Make sure it's a biblical thing. Whatsoever we do in word and deed, let it all be to the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. It's a black thing. It's a Roman thing. No, it better be a biblical thing. This ain't biblical. There's no words here. This is not a praise break. This is an organ grinder playing the music, and the jackasses are jumping up and down. Have you heard one word of praise to God? Do you even know why they're dancing? Has anyone said this is why we're giving God a dance? I mean, it says in Exodus 15. It says, look, let me read it to you again. Let me read it to you again. Because you're saying, but brother Moses, didn't Miriam dance? Okay, you're not reading the whole text. You're not reading the whole text. You only want to read what you want to read. You only want to emphasize what you want to emphasize. It says in verse 20 of Exodus 15, and Moses the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with a timbrel and with dances. Yeah, they danced. Yeah, they played the instrument, but it was more than that. Listen to verse 21. You forgot to read verse 21. And Miriam answered them, saying, sing ye. What is she encouraging the people to do? To sing. Not to dance like a bunch of morons. Not to dance like a bunch of chickens without heads. She said, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have he, the Lord, thrown into the sea. You see, she's declaring why they're praising God. It's not, listen, a praise break isn't just moving your feet. A praise break isn't just playing instruments. No, a praise break is incomplete if you don't give God praise. Do you hear anybody here giving God praise? No. No one here is giving God praise. They're just, the organ grinder that has been hired is playing the organ, and the jackasses are just dancing like a bunch of fools and not saying anything. This is an exercise in stupidity. This is doctrines of dimwits. Oh, brother Moses, this is a black thing. Well, you know what? It's time to get rid of it. It's time to get rid of it because it doesn't line up with the word of God. I'm not going to spend 10 minutes of a service jumping around like a chicken that just laid an egg. All excited. Have you ever seen a chicken come out of the chicken coop after it laid an egg? They're dancing just like a chicken after it lays an egg. They're all excited. Well, you don't dance to praise yourself. You're not there for your accomplishments. You're there because of what God accomplished. And a praise break means that you praise him, you extol him, you recognize his greatness. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be hallowed. Greatly, greatly to be praised. You got to open your mouth. You got to give the reason why you're praising him. Give the reason why the organ is being played. Give the reason why you're dancing. You have to speak it. You have to let others know. What is the occasion of the praise break? But right now, I don't hear anything. Right now, I just hear the organ grinder playing the organ, and I hear these fools jumping up and down. it goes again. Part two. Second race at the Aqueduct Racetrack. Second race at the Donkey Derby. Now, mind you, they're all dressed like Roman Catholic priests. They all have the scarlet and purple on. They all have the skull caps like they've been lobotomized. They have on these robes. They got 14 different garments on top of themselves. They got pantyhose. They got all kinds of stuff, girdles. All kinds of stuff. They're sweating there, and they're jumping. This is March of 2019. And this is a praise break. Have you heard anybody give God praise? Do you even know why they're doing this? Mm-mm. No, there's no reason. There's no rhyme or reason. As soon as the organ grinder starts playing the organ, you got to jump into action. This is self-induced. This is a mindless activity. This serves no purpose. Then, listen, all it is you going to the gym without having to pay for gym membership. That's all this is. God is not being glorified in this. First of all, you're all part of apostate Rome. Go check this out. This video has had 21,000 views. Is called Praise Break at Joint College of Bishops 2019. Go check it out for yourself. I haven't doctored this. This is 11 minutes long. 11 minutes or nothing. Guy wants to open the barn door again and let all the jackasses out. They're telling the people to sit down, and the organ grinder wants to keep doing. He wants them to start jumping again. This is insanity. This 10 minutes. 10 minutes. Did you hear anybody give a reason why? Did Jay Delano Ellis lead them in a song like Moses led the children of Israel in a song during the praise break? You know, Moses was singing, right? And Miriam and the women were doing the percussion. They had the timbrels. They had the tambourines. Miriam and the women were doing the dancing and the background singing because they were answering Moses. Moses was singing a portion of the song, and then Miriam and the women would answer, and Moses would go to singing, and Miriam and the women would go to answering. And notice, Exodus 15, there's not one note, not one music. Now, we know music was involved. We know instruments was involved. We know that dancing was part of it. But the most important part, the part that was recorded, were the words. because the words tell us why they were grateful to God, what God had done on their behalf. And I just played an 11-minute audio for you where you heard nothing about God and why they would call this a praise break. Nothing about God. Nothing. 11 minutes of nothing, of just jumping up and down, jumping like the monkey on the organ grinder's box. That's all they're doing. The garments that they have on, the garments and the ceremony that they're about to perform, because this is the same service in which they consecrate the bishop-elect lobotomized scale. Remember I did a whole series on lobotomized scale? Well, this is that service. And go check out the YouTube video, and they're all dressed like Roman Catholic bishops and archbishops. Read Revelation 17:4. Revelation 17:4 tells you the two colors of the heart of church, purple and scarlet. When you look at J. Delano Ellis and his band of bigoted bishops, they're dressed in purple and in scarlet. That testifies that they have doctrines of demons. This praise break and what they're doing during the praise break just gives you the component of the doctrine of dimwits. They call it praise, but it's not praise. Why? Because they're not praising God. They're not praising God. They're saying nothing. Now, as I close the program, my dear brothers and sisters, let me remind you that I'll be back tomorrow to do part two on this series. I'm not done. I'm not done with this. This has got so much to it. We got to come back and do some more. So don't forget, I'll be back tomorrow. And I want to close this broadcast. Now, this will be our third hymn. This will be our third hymn. Our third hymn. In all of our hymns, or every hymn that I played today, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves, which was the first hymn. The second hymn, which was Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. And now I'm going to close out the program with this hymn, Jesus Savior, Pilot Me. And it's not just the music that ministers to you. It's not just the melody that ministers to you. My brothers and sisters, it's the words. It's the words that count. The words of the hymns that count. The words are sermons. These hymns are sermons in song. And the lyrics, the words, are beautiful. And they're based on the Word of God. So I want to close out the program with this beautiful hymn, Jesus Savior, Pilot Me, and let it minister to your soul. And come on back tomorrow as I do part two of this praise break nonsense. Thank you.
Jesus is.